As the Enterprise speeds through space, Picard enters the bridge.
Good evening, Mr. Data.
Actually, good morning, sir. Ship status is...
No need to report. I'm just here to do some work on my own.
Aye, sir.
I'd like to speak to Professor Moray at his archaeological site on Landris 2. Could you put it through to my ready room?
I'm sorry, sir, but Stellar Cartography has requested a communications blackout while they run an experiment.
How long will it be?
Another 3 hours, 22 minutes, sir. I can override if necessary.
No, it's not important.
Aye, sir.
Picard enters his ready room and puts his handheld computer on the desk. He thinks for a moment.
Computer, display the latest excavation schematics on Landris 2.
Library computer is temporarily offline.
Explain.
Library systems have been allocated to Stellar Cartography.
He deactivates the computer and picks up an old book from his desk. He walks past his aquarium to the replicator.
T. Earl Grey, hot.
Replicator systems are offline at the request of
Stellar Cartography. What could they possibly be doing down there?
He takes a lift to level 12 and finds the mapmakers in a room along the hallway. The room is in darkness, and a woman is poring over a glowing spherical map of the stars.
Oh. In or out, just close that door. And don't move. It'll take a second for our eyes to readjust. Okay. Elevate to 3.2, Marquez.
Now at 3.2, Commander.
Good. Good, we can do this. No. We're losing vertical alignment. Compensate. Compensate.
Compensating.
Gently. Gently, Marquez. Don't bump it. No. Hit the... Oh, forget it. Forget it. Lights. Whoever you are, you just ruined 4 hours of work.
You might have taken the simple precaution of locking the door.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
She turns to face him.
Captain Picard.
I assume that you must be Lieutenant Commander Darren.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, it's just we weren't expecting anybody to be up at this hour.
Well, you're new on the Enterprise. You'll have to learn to expect the unexpected.
That's why I put in for this assignment, sir.
Excellent. Now, perhaps you can tell me what was so important that it required depriving the captain of his cup of Earl Grey.
Earl Grey? No wonder you can't sleep. Computer, bring replicators back online and give me a cup of Darren Herbal Tea Blend number 3. Hot. You shouldn't be drinking a stimulant at this time of night. I think you'll like this.
He takes a sip and grimaces.
I've programmed 7 other blends into the replicator. You're bound to like one of them.
I look forward to sampling them.
I'm sorry if the system blackouts we requested inconvenienced you. We're taking very precise gravimetric readings, so it wouldn't have taken much to throw them off.
What were the readings for?
I'm trying to construct a mathematical model of an emerging star system. If it works, we'll be able to predict the configuration of a star system that won't be formed for another 2 million years.
It's a long time to wait to see if you're right.
I have a few things to do between now and then.
Picard smiles a non-committal smile. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Lessons, voiced by Glenn MacCready. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Federation starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn push the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Picard enters the bridge to find Riker and Data at work.
Captain, we'll be arriving at the Borgulis Nebula in 3 hours.
Yes, I understand that it has some unusual radioactive emissions. Well, I'm sure that Stellar Sciences will find it a most interesting study.
Commander Darren has already requested extra time on the main sensor array.
Well, you have the bridge, number one.
Captain, I would like to remind you of our concert this evening in 10 forward. We will perform Chopin's trio in G minor.
I'll be there.
Picard goes to have dinner with Dr. Crusher.
And so the upshot is that we'll be close enough for you to slip away for a few days and see Wesley.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jean-Luc. This is delicious. What is it?
It's a herbal tea blend. I, found it in the replicator files. Have you met any of the new crew members who came aboard at Starbase 218?
In fact, I have a new nurse, Beck. He's an obstetric specialist.
I met the new head of Stellar Sciences last night, Lieutenant Commander Darren.
Yes. Nella Darren. She came into sickbay for a physical last week. I like her. Very forthright.
Did you know that it is now possible to predict the configuration of a star system which won't be formed for another 2 million years?
Really? No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite intriguing. The whole thing is made possible by a complex mathematical construct based on fractal particle motion. But that's only the foundation. The modeling itself is done by gravimetric wave input.
I see.
Well, I know this is all pretty dry stuff. Stellar cartography isn't everybody's cup of tea.
I'm sure it's really quite fascinating.
You know, we should be getting along to 10 forward. We're going to be late for the concert.
Data enters 10 forward with his violin and a female cellist. They take their places on the stage. At Data's signal, Commander Darren enters and sits at the grand piano behind them.
Mr. Data. Well done.
Commander, that was a remarkable performance.
You are very talented.
Thank you.
I noticed that the applause this evening exceeded average decibel levels.
Well, I guess that means they enjoyed themselves.
I think that much was obvious.
Excuse me, I have not yet congratulated Ensign Cheney.
I'll go with you.
Commander, you must have been playing since you were young. I played the piano for a while when I was small, but I didn't put in the practice you must have.
Well, practicing was never my problem. In fact, my parents had to make me go out and play.
I wanted to ask, during the second arpeggio of the first movement, I noticed that you played an F minor chord instead of a diminished D.
You're a musician. What's your instrument? We should play sometime.
No. I'm just an amateur. But your choice in that arpeggio was delightful. Not at all what one would expect.
Well, Captain, now that I'm on your ship, maybe you should start expecting the unexpected.
He smiles in surprise and admiration. The Enterprise is in a spectacular dark blue constellation when Darren enters the bridge.
Excuse me, sir. I was hoping that my people in spectral analysis could have another few hours on the main sensor array.
I'm sorry, the array has already been allocated to engineering. They're running some warp field tests.
If we go offline now, we'll lose the gas flow pattern we've been tracking.
I understand, but there are other departments waiting to use the array.
We're at a critical juncture, sir.
Commander. I'll see what I can do to find you some more time tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Picard is in his quarters and holds his flute as he nods to the music.
Computer, pause playback.
Come.
Oh.
Commander Darren.
I hope you don't mind me dropping by like this.
No, please, come in. I'm delighted.
What kind of flute is that?
It's, Resican.
I've never seen one before.
They're not made anymore.
Have you been playing long?
Yes, a long time.
I'd love to hear you play sometime.
I'm not very good.
That doesn't matter, as long as you enjoy it.
Yes, but I wouldn't want to inflict it on someone else.
May I try?
Yes, of course. Yes, you're not holding it quite right. May I?
Please. You're better than you think. Really? We should play together.
There isn't a piano.
Ah, but there is.
She unrolls a keyboard on his coffee table.
I picked it up on Madeline, too. It's amazing.
That is remarkable. Well, why don't you play something?
You start and I'll jump in.
What should we play?
What were you working on before I came in?
Bach, the third Brandenburg.
Perfect. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. You're not used to playing with anyone, are you?
Just the computer.
I may not be as precise as a computer, but I think you'll enjoy it more. Why don't we start with something a little simpler? How about... Now let's have a little fun with it.
Picard appears a little daunted now.
You try. Improvise around the melody. Anything you want. Wonderful. Keep going. You're definitely better than you think.
Picard beams with pride and later comes onto the bridge.
Number one, my fencing partner's canceled for this afternoon. I was wondering if you wanted to join me.
Fencing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really very good.
Doesn't matter, so long as you enjoy it.
Why not?
Good, excellent. 1,400 hours then.
Riker doesn't know what to make of Picard's cheerfulness or what he's let himself in for.
You have a mild strain. I've been playing the piano a lot. I guess the captain and I overdid it a little last night. The captain? Yes, he plays a kind of flute. A resican, I think he said. Yes, but I didn't know he played duets. He never did before. He seemed to enjoy it. He's actually quite promising. I see. Tell me, have you known him long? Yes, a very long time. He seems somewhat isolated. I'd say he's a very private person, but not isolated. There, that should help. That feels much better. Thank you. Good. I was afraid I might have to cancel. Another duet. Keep climbing.
Where are we going?
We're almost there.
I don't see why we couldn't just practice in my quarters.
A steel door shuts over the ladder they've climbed, and Darren lays the flute and the keyboard on the floor at an intersection of endless-looking tunnels.
Do you know where we are?
Yes, this is the fourth intersect in Jeffrey's Tube 25.
No, this is the most acoustically perfect spot on the ship. Intersection acts as a resonance chamber.
How did you find it?
A little exploring.
You mean to say that you crawled through every tube on the ship?
Well, not everyone. Try it, see how it sounds. What is it?
It's an old folk melody.
I've never heard you play with such feeling.
In engineering, LaForge can just make out the music, and gradually all work stops as everyone tries to work out its source.
Is there a problem, Geordi?
I hear music.
Music? I do not hear anything.
You sure?
Hmm?
I know I heard something. It stopped.
Hmm.
Back at the intersection, Picard and Darren slowly kiss. Sometime later, Picard and Darren are in a lift.
I'd heard about Karelian tenors all my life, but nothing could have prepared me for this man's voice. Soaring, incredible range.
Mm.
Wonderful.
I understand that there are nuances that only Karelians can pick up. We just don't have the ears for it.
A woman boards the lift and Picard turns away from Darren.
I should be finished with my survey by 1100 hours.
Very good, Commander.
He practically cuts her dead in his haste to leave. Darren is left reeling.
Captain, the Federation outpost on Bersalad 3 reports that they are entering a period of firestorm activity.
Bersalad firestorms happen on a 7-year cycle. They're not expecting any for another 8 months.
We don't rendezvous with Havana for another 2 days. That would give us plenty of opportunity to study this phenomenon.
Helm, set a course for Bersalad 3, warp 5.
Aye, sir.
Counselor, could I speak with you in my ready room? You have the bridge, number one. Sit down, Counselor. I want to talk to you about a matter of protocol. I know there are no Starfleet regulations about a captain becoming involved with a fellow officer. But...
You would like my opinion about you and Commander Darren.
It's that obvious.
In a way that pleases people who care about your happiness, yes, it is.
But I have to be concerned about more than my own happiness.
And you think that your feelings toward Nella could change the way you function as captain?
Yes. Relationships with co-workers can be fraught with consequences.
That's true. But cutting yourself off from your feelings can carry consequences that are just as serious.
You see, I've always believed that becoming involved with someone under my command would compromise my objectivity. And yet...
Captain, are you asking my permission?
If I were, would you give it?
Yes.
Come in.
Nella?
Can I help you, sir?
I'm really very sorry about what happened in the turbo lift. When the crew member walked in, I felt very self-conscious. It's going to take a while for me to get used to the idea of crew seeing the two of us together.
I understand. Now, I'm glad you told me. For a minute there, I thought I'd misread you. One kiss and you're off to find somebody else.
I can assure you that I'm not given to casual relationships.
He turns as a man enters.
There is something that I want to tell you. But not here. Do you remember the folk melody that I played to you this morning?
Yes, yeah.
I learned it on a planet called Catan.
Never heard of it?
No, I'm not surprised. Its sun went nova more than 1,000 years ago.
I don't understand.
The Enterprise encountered a probe that had been sent from the planet before it was destroyed. And it scanned me, and I lost consciousness. And in the space of 25 minutes, I lived a lifetime on that planet. I had a wife and children and a grandchild. And it was absolutely real to me. And when I awoke, all that I had left of that life was the flute that I'd taught myself to play.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to understand what my music means to me. And what it means for me to be able to share it with someone.
She smiles and caresses his face.
Thank you.
They kiss. Neela Darin intercepts Riker in a hallway.
Hello.
Sir.
Commander, I was hoping to talk to you about Ensign Cabot's transfer.
Quantum Mechanics doesn't want to give him up.
But he wants to come to my department.
How do you know that?
I offered it to him.
Transfers are to be approved by me before any offers are made.
I'm sorry, we're just talking and...
It's all right. But Cabot should stay where he is.
Commander, please don't make that decision final. I realize I shouldn't have made the offer, but he's perfect for the job, and Quantum Mechanics is overstaffed anyway.
Commander, do you realize the position you're putting me in?
Well, I think I'm just doing what any good department head would do. Trying to build the best staff I can.
Look, I'll review the situation. I'll let you know as soon as I can.
Come.
May I have a minute?
Yes, of course. Come in, number one.
It's about Lieutenant Commander Darin. As a department head, she comes to me for systems allocation, personnel transfers, things like that. Well, I'm beginning to feel uncomfortable with her requests.
Because of her relationship with me?
Yes, sir.
Are her requests unusual?
No.
Would you say that she's just trying to do her job?
Yes, sir.
Then let her do it, and you feel free to do yours. Ship's resources are your responsibility. I've always had absolute confidence in your judgment.
Thank you, sir.
Later, Darin and Picard have a drink together.
I can't believe I'm going to get the chance to study the firestorms on Brassalis. Apparently they're generated by particle emissions from the Brassalan sun. They cause a cascade effect in the planet's atmosphere that... Oh, I'm boring you.
No, no. No, you're not. Not at all. It's just that... Commander Riker came to see me this afternoon. About you.
About the personnel transfer. I thought he looked uncomfortable. He thought I was asking for special treatment.
Picard nods.
I was just doing what I thought was best for my department.
And that's what I told him. But we have to be careful. Obviously, it's easy for people to misunderstand.
I don't like the thought of having to second-guess people all the time. I have to worry about what people are thinking about me. I'll be concentrating on the wrong thing, and I won't be as effective an officer.
All I'm saying is that it's something we have to be aware of. But you mustn't compromise yourself. You must do what you have to do. Because if I find that my head of stellar sciences isn't being effective, then I shall do what I must do. And I shall replace her.
Noted, sir.
Now, I think that we should just forget about this and enjoy our evening.
What about that special dessert you promised me?
Right. Now, this is something that I first tasted on Thelka 4.
Bridge to Captain.
Go ahead, Mr. Worf.
Brassalis 3 reports that the storm has changed its speed and heading. They are predicting it will hit the outpost within 8 hours and are requesting evacuation.
I'm on my way.
Picard smiles an apology and Darin shrugs understandingly.
Captain's log, stardate 46693.1. We have entered the Brassalis star system and are making preparations to evacuate the Federation outpost on the third planet.
A firestorm can kick up winds of over 200 kilometers per hour and temperatures as high as 300 degrees C.
Incredible. What causes them? They form when solar flare radiation reacts with high-energy plasma present in the planet's atmosphere.
Wasn't the outpost constructed to withstand the conditions?
It was, both reinforced and insulated. But this is no ordinary storm. It's twice as strong as anything they've ever seen. The outpost just won't withstand it.
We'll arrive about an hour before the storm gets there, and it'll take us at least 2 hours to evacuate the colonists off the surface.
I led a team of geologists to study the plasma geyser on Milnos 4. We cross-connected a few thermal deflector units to create a protective shield against the heat.
A firewall?
Would something like that work here?
You know, it might. The storm is approaching the outpost from this direction. If we were to set up a series of thermal deflector units along the northern perimeter, we could create a firewall and deflect some of the heat. The insulation from the outpost should be able to handle the rest.
Thermal deflectors generate a field approximately 400 meters wide. We would need to cross-connect 6 units and align them so that the fields overlap.
How many people would it take to set that up?
12, 2 per team. Cross-connecting that many units, it'll be a little tricky. Once they're set up, we'll have to leave the units in place and transport our people out. Nobody would be able to survive very long outside that structure.
Let's do it.
The storm is going to interfere with communication. Everything will need to be coordinated from the surface. Mr. Data, you will coordinate the evacuation of the colonists. Doctor, there are 9 patients in the outpost infirmary. Your first priority will be to get them to sick bay. After that, you will stay on board the Enterprise, be ready to receive casualties. Marquez, you'll take some people down and track the storm. All the other teams will need to be kept apprised of its heading. Commander, you'll be in charge of deploying the deflectors. Let's go.
Commander Darren, about those thermal deflectors.
There must be one of any number of people that coordinate that.
I assume Commander Riker chose me because I'm the best person for the job. Didn't we agree not to let our relationship get in the way of our work?
She takes hold of his hands.
I'll be all right.
With a smile, she leaves him. The Enterprise orbits the golden planet Bursalis 3.
Lieutenant Marquez is already set up on the surface. Apparently the storm is gaining speed. He's estimating it'll hit the colony in less than 50 minutes. Henson, make sure you maintain a continuous transporter lock on all away team personnel. We may have to pull them out in a hurry.
Aye, sir.
I don't want to take any unnecessary chances down there. And if we get into trouble, beam them up immediately.
Energize.
Darren and the rest are transported down, and Picard's concern is painfully obvious. Sometime later, Picard is on the bridge.
Mr. Worf, how long until the storm reaches the outposts?
17 minutes.
LaForge to bridge.
Go ahead, Mr. LaForge.
The ionization from the storm is interfering with the transporters, Captain. I'm compensating, but it's slowing things down a bit.
Keep at it, Mr. LaForge.
On the rocky surface of Bursalis 3, the deflectors are being set up as the fiery storm approaches in the distance.
Riker to Darren.
Darren here. Go ahead, Commander.
We've got less than 9 minutes before the storm reaches the northern perimeter.
I'm here with Team 6. We're just about to bring the deflectors online.
Whenever you're ready.
Darren to perimeter team, stand by to cross-connect deflectors.
Standing by.
Activate.
The firewall coruscates between the deflectors.
Team 3, increase your output by 0.2%.
Yes, sir.
Good. Deng, decrease nutation by 0.4%. Good. We've almost got it.
Pressure to bridge.
Go ahead, Doctor.
We just brought back the last of the infirmary patients, and they're on their way to sickbay. But we still have over 100 colonists down there.
Understood.
Darren to Commander Riker.
Riker here. Go ahead.
We've got a problem. We're having trouble keeping the deflectors cross-connected. So the only way this is going to work is if we calibrate them manually.
If you stay with the deflectors, will they protect you when the storm hits?
I don't know, sir. A few minutes, maybe.
Picard, Commander Riker. How many more colonists do you have to transport?
73, sir.
How long do you need?
At least 10 more minutes.
Captain, the storm will reach the northern perimeter in 4 minutes.
Picard to perimeter teams.
It is imperative that you hold your position.
until we've finished evacuating the colony. You got it?
Got it, Miss LaForge?
LaForge here.
I want a signal lock on every member of the perimeter teams.
Captain, the storm's interference
won't... As soon as the last of the colony is evacuated, I want those perimeter teams out of there. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Darren to perimeter teams. The storm's interference is going to make our job harder than we thought. We may lose communication, so it's up to each of you to keep your units operational. A lot of people are depending on us. Darren out.
She reaches up to a rocky ledge and pulls herself up to study the raging firestorm firsthand.
The storm has reached the perimeter.
Picard is frozen in horror. Later, in the sickbay, Picard approaches Riker.
I got out with the last of the colonists. If it hadn't been for the perimeter teams, none of us would have made it. We were able to clear out four of the teams in the interference prevented us from getting two more. I don't know how they could have survived. Which teams are missing? Three and six. The last I knew, Commander Darren was on Team Six.
Slowly, Picard leaves, and later sits alone in his ready room. His flute is in its open box on a table. Picard stands and crosses to the flute. Deliberately and with a sense of finality, he closes its box.
Bridge to Captain.
Go ahead, Mr. Worf.
We have found survivors, sir. They are beaming up now.
I'm on my way.
Picard arrives at the transporter room and desperately scans the faces of the survivors, but Darren's is not among them. He turns to leave. Darren beams aboard, supporting another injured officer. She passes Picard and is helped by another crew member.
Captain's log, stardate 46697.2. Although we succeeded in rescuing all 643 Bersalan colonists, we lost 8 crew members. Let the record show that they gave their lives in the performance of their duty.
When communications went out, I knew we had to fend for ourselves. We modified our phases to create resonant disruptions in the deflector field. The disruptions formed small pockets in the plane of the field, and we each stood inside one to wait out the storm. Richardson didn't make it. All Day and I could do was stand there and watch.
I'm so sorry.
Don't say you're sorry.
It must have been terrible.
At first, when you told us to hold our positions, I didn't question it. Of course we would. That was our job. But when I saw that storm coming toward us...
And part of you must have blamed me.
A small part, maybe. But in the end, I was more afraid that you'd blame yourself if I died. Would you have?
I've lost people under my command. People who were very dear to me. But never someone I've been in love with. And when I believed that you were dead, I just began to shut down. I didn't want to think or feel. I was here in my quarters. And the only thing I could focus on was my music and how it would never again give me any joy. And then I saw you standing on the transporter pad. And I knew that I could never again put your life in jeopardy.
If I stayed here, you might have to.
You could always resign your commission, stay here with me.
And you could resign yours and come to a star base with me. I'll apply for a transfer.
Picard nods.
But we could still see each other. People do. We could arrange shore leave together. And for the future, who knows?
Of course.
She stands up suddenly and turns back to kiss him.
Promise me something. Don't give up your music.
They hold each other close before she finally breaks away and walks out of his quarters almost in tears. Once again, Picard is alone. The Enterprise slowly continues its voyage. The end.